Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Divya. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Khan.
Hi.
So we've been speaking about ICOs quite a bit. We figured out how to identify dubious ICOs by purely using our common sense, how ICOs could soon help us with food delivery and things, even if it's as simple as buying a pizza online. And but on the whole, today we see that from the month of January to the end of February, ICOs were able to raise $1 billion, which is a huge amount of money, given that in the last year alone, they raised $4 billion throughout all the 12 months. So keeping this in mind, we also see that the multifold progression in terms of which ICOs are able to gather traction and money is quite a bit. So do you think ICOs today are an upgraded version of an IPO, given that the errors existing in the system would rectify itself over a period of time? But do you see ICOs entirely replacing the IPO systems?
Good, bad idea to predict the future. But let's look at what is possible, right? So, and draw analogies, right? I mean, in the days of internet and the days before internet, we would have this company called Blockbuster that had stores all over America. On Saturday or Friday evenings, I would walk in with my kids into Blockbuster and rent videos for the next 2-3 days. It was like a library, and we would watch the video and return the videos, and all is good. And then came Netflix. In the beginning, they were shipping out videos, but then CDs, and then stopped that and started doing streaming of videos, right? And so new technology enabled a new way of distributing content, which made Blockbuster obsolete in no time at all. So that's kind of how we are looking at this, right? So now you have this new technology, right? So we are looking at, okay, what is possible? What can be done? So whenever new technologies are on the fore, there is something called a technology S-curve. The early adopters that are just trying to... So imagine this Y-axis is the number of people using it, and this X-axis is time. So what is happening is slowly over time, there's a gradual increase in the number of people using it. These people are the crazy... the pirates and the drug dealers and the human trafficking, all the crazy early adopters are the ones that's why these tend to get bad rap. It was the same with internet. It's the same here. It primarily same with more or less all the technologies. The early adopters are the fringe people doing crazy use cases. And then there comes a point where the other early adopters typically are startups, just like we saw a startup boom, because entrepreneurs are obviously willing to try new technology. They're trying to do new things. So they want, and they have very little money. They want to do a lot with it. So they're looking for every way of improving their efficiency. And then for startups, one of the most important things is raising money. And then MasterCoin, later on Ethereum, proved with just two quick, the use case was proven, $18 million Ethereum raised, and thanks to the ingenuity of Vitalik Buterin. And they use the fact that, hey, the blockchain means I can disintermediate an investment bank. I don't need that. So maybe I can sell tokens directly to the public. Sure, they kept ignoring the fact that, hey, this is although it's a token, it's really a share, and it will come under the legal scrutiny of the government sooner or later. So they just wanted to have the party go on as long as they could. So that party is continuing and it's actually growing, but also regulations are growing hand in hand. So I hope that it'll be a nice case study or an example of how the regulations were making this better than worse. So that's what we have seen over the last 3-4 years, is suddenly that went, I don't think we are still at the accelerated adoption. We're still close to the inflection point where we saw probably a billion in 2016, or a 2 billion, and then 4 billion last year. And the current run rate, according to you, if it is 1 billion in 2 months, we'll probably end up with 6 billion in fundraisers this year. So that is what is happening, is those early adopters tend to be technology startup entrepreneurs. And here it is like, it was a perfect storm wherein I'm an entrepreneur that wants to raise money and this technology helps me raise money faster, cheaper, better. And instead of going through so many rounds, right? Angel round, I raise, and then 2 years later, I go to Series A, Series B, Series C, Series D, increasing amounts, increasing valuation, finally to an IPO, probably 5-10 years from the get-go. And you're telling me I can compress all of that into 3 to 6 months and I can raise $30-40 million in one shot, right? One of the interviewees I had was Min Kim of Icon in South Korea. And in 8 hours, they raised $42 million. They stopped because he said, I don't know what to do with any more money. So that's like raising all the rounds of money in 8 hours, which is insane, right? It's never been done before. So you're done. Before you would see literally a founder or a CEO almost dedicated to fundraising 50, 60, 70, almost 100% of their time for all these years. Publicity, PR, communications with the investors. So that was such a huge effort. Now you're telling me I can raise all the money and get rid of that effort? That is brilliant. So that's what startups like about it. Now, what do investors like about it? Like myself, I was an angel investor for a short while, invested in several startups. Many of them are doing very well. I still hold on to them, but I'm sitting because my investments are illiquid. They're private equity that I hold in these startups. Either they go public or they get bought out. That's called a liquidity event. So it's an event that should happen before I can cash out on my shares. But instead, if I go to a pre-token sale or a token sale and invest my money, 3 months later, it's being traded on the crypto exchange, and I can take my tokens and sell them, and I got cash in 3 to 6 months. So as an investor, I like it. As a startup entrepreneur, I like it. So being an win-win scenario, of course, the people that don't like it is the rest of them, the environment, the government, the banks, all of these people. So don't think there are I don't want to say detractors is probably a better word, but for good reason. Like I said, I welcome regulation in this space, right? But at the same time, it's very exciting or interesting to see the disruption of the banking industry. And many of the banks don't realize that they're getting disrupted right now. They're just mad, right? So that is very similar to Blockbuster's reaction. Blockbuster wanted to turn around and buy Netflix or something like that. You know, various things like that, like Yahoo had an opportunity to buy Google, right? Which they turned down. So in hindsight, all of these will sound ridiculous, but I don't blame them because looking forward, you don't even know if this, you know, ragtag team will even make it or not. So that's, we're going to see many, 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 many such stories in future. So is it already disrupted? No, right now, angel and VC money continues to flow in and it is still bigger than what we are seeing here. Or maybe the angel part might have been disrupted, but I don't think the VC and private equity has been disrupted. There's still a huge amount of money that may not change for another 10, 20, 30, 40 years or may never change. But is there an accelerated adoption of the ICOs or token sales? There is absolutely no doubt about it. Are there more regulations coming? Yes. Is that going to help people and protect people? I really, really hope so. Many governments are really trying to do that. So I give that to them. So that's kind of how I see this picture. I see that this is not, certainly not slowing down. In spite of the hiccups, in spite of Bitcoin going up and falling by 60, 70% from 20,000 down to 4,000, 5,000 or whatever it fell to, and now back to 10,000. Crazy volatility and every doomsday guy predicting the demise of Bitcoin and all of that. So while all of that is going, we heard the same rhetoric 20 years ago in the internet era, and you're hearing the same thing again right now. So that's never going to change. I'm sure the same thing happened when the car came out, when people said, man, bullock cart and horse are so safe, bio-friendly, these evil metallic things, when they hit somebody, the people die. Are you crazy? What if you run out of gas in the middle of a highway and at night? I mean, you can imagine all kinds of detractors talking. So it's, and to some extent, there is reason. I mean, probably sitting on a buffalo or a horse, you may not kill too many people, but in sitting inside a car, you might. So there are some of these detractors have a real reason for holding the negative, being adversarial in their nature to a new concept. So I think all in all, that's the way the ecosystem should evolve, because if they were no naysayers, people will go ahead without worrying about the consequences. So these checks and balances, both from the government and from the naysayers, are important for a progressive evolution of ICOs and everything else. And even people are becoming smarter. People who would blindly throw money at ICOs in 2016 and large part of 2017 got burnt a few times, people like me also. And so this year they're become much smarter, wiser, right? Hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does, Dr. Khan. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.